Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Did you know that our Lord himself was directly responsible for the institution of this feast? And he caused its institution above all else in order to remind men of and to make known to them the infinite love of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. That was his whole goal in establishing this feast day. And so he appears to St. Margaret Mary, whose relics I had the fortune to see one day in Paray Le Monial in France. He appeared to her from the tabernacle, in the place, the choir stalls, where the sisters would kneel for community prayer, were just off to the side of the sanctuary, in a separate room. And there it was, when she was praying, that the Sacred Heart appeared. He holds his heart out to her, and it's, of course, surrounded with flames. And he said to her those beautiful words that you hear so often, "Behold that heart that has so loved men." That in itself is a most beautiful meditation. Then we turn to the breviary that we Catholic priests have to pray every day. And in the hour of Matins, which way back in the ancient days, the monks would get up at 2 a.m. and chant Matins. We don't do that anymore, but it still has the spirit of penance. And in the first lesson of Matins today, it reminds us precisely of this fact. It says in the lesson, God is speaking here, and this is from Scripture. "I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Do you notice anything a little strange about that statement? Our Lord says, "I will give them a heart to know me." It takes intelligence, not a heart, to know someone or something. It takes an intellect. The world always wants to tell you, they take our Lord's words here and twist them around, and they say that it's all about feeling. It's all about feeling, and I only know things through my feelings and the like. But listen to how this is explained, what our Lord said, "I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord." They say this, that although intelligence is a normal approach to knowledge, it takes an intellect to have knowledge, to understand something. What our Lord meant is this, that children who do not have the use of reason, therefore a use of an intellect, they can only feel with their heart whether or not they are loved by their mother and their father. A child is not capable of reasoning, but knows full-heartedly if his mother or father loves him. And when that love is certain and generous and self-sacrificing, disinterested, the child understands it perfectly well. And none can resist that love of that parent. Say what you want, though, about articles of the faith. People will always have objections to them, wrongfully, of course, because the faith is based on the word of Almighty God. But people will always have objections to the articles of our creed. But no one can ever object to our Savior's sacred heart and how his love, much like a mother's love or a father's love, showed itself. He was the Savior of the fallen human race. He was a friend of the poor, and he ate with them. He was the consoler of the afflicted, the healer of the sick. He was the good shepherd. The gospel portrays him as just that. And our Lord is in agony in the garden and in agony on the cross for love of us. No one can ever object that Christ did not love us. Proof is in the pudding, they say, right? The proof is in the action. One can say how much they love someone, but it's not until you see the deeds that you realize how much they loved you. Greater love than this, no man has, our Lord said, that he lay down his life for his friend. And our Lord was the offended one. We were his enemies through our sins, and yet he died for his enemies as well. What great love, what great sacrificial love. And as we think of the Sacred Heart's love and how great it is, it only brings us to the next point of the Feast of the Sacred Heart, that of gratitude. Behold the heart. Our Lord speaks again. Behold that heart that has loved men so much and receives from them in exchange nothing but coldness, indifference, and sin. So our Lord now, speaking to St. Margaret Mary, begins complaining to her. See, all that I have done for the human race, all that I have done for souls, and now the Sacred Heart says, and yet, despite all of that I have done, I am treated with coldness and indifference. And then he says, what is worse, and what makes me suffer most is that even the souls who are consecrated to me treat me that way. That is, the priests and the religious brothers and sisters. How sorrowful it must have been for St. Margaret Mary to hear that. So, this Feast of the Sacred Heart is this. It is the feast of our Lord's love for us, and it is a feast of the return of our love for his. How are we going to do that? To prove our love for him. Well, proof of love is always in the work. It's in what you do, not what you say, what you do. We must console the Sacred Heart of Jesus that has been pierced with thorns, that has been treated, despite all of his love, with coldness and indifference. We must no longer be indifferent to his sacraments, to his word, the Holy Scriptures, to his faith, to living his faith. We can no longer be indifferent. And then on top of it, the acts of reparation to the Sacred Heart. How much we need those, because this was the last devotion. Sacred Heart told us this. This will be the last time that I give you such an occasion to help the world out as I am doing in this apparition of the Sacred Heart. Do your acts of reparation. Console the Sacred Heart in whatever little way that you can for all those in the world today who continue to mock him and to treat him as no longer a king in royal garments, but again they rip those right off and give him a reed for his scepter and a crown of thorns for his crown, and they put an old raggedy purple violet cape for his cloak. The world continues to do it. And there is no one to do penance but the few who have remained true to the Catholic faith. So on this day, as we meditate This is my final thought. As we meditate on the love of the Sacred Heart for us and all that He's done for us, resolve to love Him back, and to love Him back by doing your little acts of penance, offering up, this is the best penance, offering up your daily duties in union with the Sacred Heart to make reparation for the offenses against the Sacred Heart. I leave you with those thoughts. And then after Mass today, we'll have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. And during benediction, we'll pray the Litany of the Sacred Heart and then make the act of reparation, the first of today's acts of reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.